Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a marvelous, marvelous Monday. When I was a freshman at Auburn, Auburn had a football season in which the Van Tiffin kick happened, followed by a loss in the Cotton Bowl, and Auburn had an 8-4 season after being preseason number one. But all hope was not lost because Sonny Smith guided the Tigers to the Elite Eight, and that has always stood as the standard for Auburn advancement in the NCAA tournament until, of course, this season with Auburn making its first ever appearance in the Final Four. That happened under Sonny Smith back in 1986. Sonny Smith now the color commentator for Auburn basketball, and he joins us here on Press Row. Sonny, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are.
We are doing wonderful. I can only imagine what has these last 3 weeks been like for you and in what you've had to do with your travel and following what has just been an incredible run with Auburn.
It's amazing what it's been. Actually, it was more. I was more nervous and more into this than I think I was back in 86 because I was just honing in on what we had to do next that time. This time I'm a part of it, and I want to see everybody do good, and I'm dependent on them instead of depending on myself. So it's been a great ride and a fun ride for me.
Have you, if I had to ask your emotion, I mean, you've had some chance to digest what all took place Saturday night. You know, it was one of those interesting, we have just come off that NFC Championship game where so much was made about the non-pass interference call in the Rams-Saints game, and it really felt like after the Auburn game and then throughout Sunday, I know Virginia's players yesterday were still having to answer questions about the double dribble and the foul at the end.
Well, the foul at the end, I just went crazy on that on the radio. I said things that you normally should not say. And I was just killed because James Breeding is such a good official and has relatives in this area, you know, and he has to live with that, his relatives do. And that was not, I wasn't thinking of that at the time, but I was thinking that he missed the call. And I was really upset with him, and I should more so than I should have been. I knew that Auburn had won the championship right then because the game is over and we had the ball. Well, the thing about it is I got to look at it later on, and the call was correct. And that really upset me more than anything at that tournament. But on the other side of the ball, the double dribble, I missed it. I miss it, trying to look ahead to see who they would throw the ball to take that final shot. I figured it had to be Guy or somebody like that to get it to, somebody that could shoot a three and make free throws. And sure enough, they missed it just like I did.
And, Sonny, to evoke the NFC Championship game, I mean, the NFL has already taken steps to address and try to make sure that non-pass interference call doesn't happen again. If you could change anything about the last, I know Dick Vitale's been as passionate about anybody as anybody about how the last few seconds of that Auburn-Virginia game transpired, and it's interesting. He thinks they should go back and look at everything under a minute that might be controversial, but he's also a guy that's been saying we go to the monitor too much in college basketball as it is. Is there any perfect solution to try to fix what transpired in the last minute of that game the other day?
If you're speaking of Dick Vitale, I agree that we go to the monitor way too much during a game, way too much. Well, not as much way too much, fellas, as how long we stay.
Right.
You know, you sit over there and you know what the call really is, or they wouldn't be over there. And for them, they got to come up with an answer a lot quicker if they're going to keep doing that. But I totally agree that the last 2 minutes of a game needs to be scrutinized by a bunch of people and with the changes of calls that are definitely missed. And if they did that, let's say they made the call on the double dribble. We would have had no time hardly just to get the ball in, and we would have won the championship. So it's a terrible situation for Auburn people, but a great situation that they're able to get that far.
And along those lines, Bruce Pearl, and we all saw the reaction on television about how hot he was as soon as that whistle happened. But after that, I mean, his comments and then the Samir Dowdy 6-minute interview of him sitting in his locker was just the definition of an unbelievable taking the high road. Even Samir at his age just saying, I know refs, refs don't tell me how to shoot a basketball. I can't tell them how to do their jobs.
That was all class. If I had been in the dressing room, it would have been all class. It would have been third or fourth. I mean, I would have not been able to answer like that. I would say you just can't miss that kind of call, especially when it happened right beside an official. And I wouldn't have been able to be – I wouldn't be able to show the class that Bruce did and also that Samir did. But that shows the kind of team this was. This was a great team all together, very friendly with one another, the loosest team I've ever been around, and I wouldn't expect anything else out of them.
You're listening to former Auburn basketball coach Sonny Smith, currently the color commentator for the Auburn Radio Network. You're listening to Sonny here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Coach, I'm curious if you participate in like a March Madness pool, and if you do, how far did you have Auburn going?
I thought they would get to the Final Eight. Now, the reason I thought that is because we were playing so good towards the end of the season. The last 10, 11 games were just spectacular basketball. I didn't think we could get past the Final Eight, and the reason I didn't was because we were in serious problems from our post players inside getting in foul trouble all the time. And I knew if we couldn't protect the rim against the teams we were going to be facing from the eight on up, that we were going to be in serious trouble. So I figured eight might be about as far as we could reach. But these post players stayed in the game, and Austin Wiley, who is our backup center, would be our center if he didn't have problems, physical problems. He's limited to a number of minutes, but he gave us good minutes, especially playing with an injury that's been with him for a long time. So we went to the Final Four, me thinking only Final Eight before we go.
Now, as someone who has been around this program intimately for so long, is it kind of, I don't know if surprising is the right word, but Auburn has been the talk of the last 10 days of the entire college basketball world, and with Charles Barkley having his own end of the CBS studio looking like my dorm room at Auburn in the early 1990s, I mean, this has been like an Auburn basketball party that I don't know if any of us could have imagined.
No, I didn't. You know, Bruce Pearl is so good at getting people involved. He's so good at getting students involved, drawing fans to Auburn that haven't been there in years and years. And it's incredible. You know, you hear all kinds of talk about Bruce. Well, he doesn't run anything. And then you hear other things on a positive side. I go to practice all the time. Bruce Pearl not only is a great motivator, he instills confidence in his players, and he runs good stuff totally based on a team he's playing. They scout him really good. Bruce Pearl is a wonderful coach. He really is. And what he does to a community is he takes it over. And everybody loves him, and he's just been a great addition to this university. And he's turned it in from all football to being a basketball football school now. And because all our minor sports, so you don't say minor sports anymore, you say Olympic sports, I guess, they have always been good, but they didn't get any attention because of all the attention that football gets. But now Bruce is just caught up with football attention. That's kind of the way it is.
You're listening to former Auburn basketball coach Sonny Smith here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Sonny, it's a very interesting time in the sport, even though the championship game is tonight. I know Tennessee fans up here are nervous that Rick Barnes might leave for UCLA, and then you've got players that, you know, at Tennessee, you've got Jordan Bone, who's already declared, people wondering what Grant Williams is going to do. Kentucky's got the same situation. Auburn's wondering what Jared Harper will do and what may become of the Okiki situation. Does he stay now with the injury? How do you see some of these things in these next few weeks shaping up?
Well, in the Rick Barnes situation, I would say to Coach Fulmer, I'd say come up with whatever it takes to keep him. I just think he's a perfect fit. Like Bruce Pearl is a perfect fit for Auburn, I think Rick Barnes is a perfect fit for Tennessee. He does the whole gamut of what a basketball coach should be. He's a tremendous coach. And the other thing is, he's an outstanding recruiter. You go back over the years and look at some of the players that he brought into Texas, and you realize how good a recruiter that guy is. So you better keep him. That would be number one. And I talked so long on that first answer. What was the second one?
Just about some of these players. I mean, I think it's interesting. What do you think Jared Harper might do? Do you think might stay?
I don't think Jared Harper will go. And got this new rule where you can test the waters, you know, but you don't have to commit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he probably will do that. But I think when it's all over, I think he's got to get something definite in his mind before he would go. And a guy with his height and the NBA, the way it is played today, you would not find many people his height playing the point guard in the NBA. It just doesn't happen. And I don't know why. He's a great three-point shooter. He's a great penetrator, and he can jump over the rim. You know, he should be a high draft choice. But one of the top scouts in the country played for me at East Tennessee State. And he sat with me at one of the practices and workouts, and I was just – you can't ask him about players on the team that are there because it's not fair to him. But – He was sitting there watching us practice and the other teams practice, and he never brought up Jared's name. So, you know, that kind of made me think, but he did bring up Bryce Brown's name.
You know, Coach, I was blessed enough to come into the, you know, become a sports fan during the early 80s, where SEC basketball with you and Wimp at Alabama, Hugh at Georgia, Dale at LSU, a lot of characters, a lot of fun, Don DeVoe at Tennessee, and a lot of different programs were going to the NCAA tournament. Boy, it really seems to that the SEC has another heyday going in basketball when you consider the resumes of these coaches with Pearl, Crean, Cal, Martin, Barnes, Howland, all with Final Four experience. Does it seem like SEC basketball has regained the 80s and maybe even better? Oh, have we lost Coach Smith? Okay, we may have lost Coach Smith, and sorry about that, but we enjoyed having him on, and maybe we can see about that. But we will take a break. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.